for the recent Dharma talks, we've been clarifying caught in self-centered dream, clarifying being just this moment. And I brought up and picked certain phrases from a fascicle of Shobo Genzo by Dogen, who show Buddha nature. And we'll continue to clarify that. I wanted to come to that from another slightly different direction. One of the oldest Prajnaparamita sutras that we have has the following paragraphs. It starts by describing the Buddha's body. Buddha's body is like an echo in a mountain in that it cannot be constituted of one thing or of two things, but rather there is a mountain, a person, a cry, the ear that hears it, and when these are combined, then and only then is there an echo. O noble sir, if you desire to know about the constitution of a Buddha's body, then you should be aware that it is just this. There is no shape. There is nothing to which it attaches. This is produced from cause and conditions. And the Buddha, in lifetime after lifetime, understood emptiness and coursed in it. Traveled in it. All birth and death has a lack of birth and death for its cause. And so the Buddha knew and thoroughly understood that originally there is no birth, there is no death, nor is there nirvana. He appeared in the world in order to preach, teach just this teaching. O noble sir, listen further. The Buddha's body is like a painting, a wall, paint, an artist, a brush. All these things must come together before one can have a painting of a person. If you desire to know about Buddha body, then you should be aware that there is not the use of one thing to bring about its constitution, but there is the use of many thousands of things. Buddha body, your body, our body, our life. This is clarifying caught in self-centered dream. Being just this moment. Previously I brought up from Buddha nature several dialogues between ancestors regarding this Buddha nature, this fundamental teaching. That is, Buddha nature is our nature, is the nature of this universe. What is this and how do we clarify this? So Dogen cites these and in other examples in by ancestors in the Buddhist tradition, in the Zen tradition, and then clarifies it with his own comments. So this afternoon I'll cite a little bit of the fifth ancestor and the sixth ancestor in the Chan tradition. So the person, the young man who was to become the sixth ancestor, he was living with his mother and his father. And his father died. He was fairly young. And his mother and he moved further south in China. And he was working to support the two of them by gathering firewood. And he would sell it. Gather firewood in the forests and sell it to earn enough money so that they could have food. One day, he brought the firewood into town and a person said to him, "I'll buy that from you to take to my friend, so please come with me." And he took it to this friend and he gave it to him. And he received the money to get food for himself and his mother. On the way back, he heard someone chanting, and he heard the phrase, "Abiding nowhere, mind arises." This is, he asked where this was from, and he was told this is from the Diamond Sutra. Some of you might be familiar with this wonderful sutra, wonderful Prajna Paramita Sutra. Very succinct phrases. A slightly different translation of this in English is, "Give rise to mind that abides nowhere." So he had an awakening here and there. And he went and asked, where is this from? And he was told, that, as I said, the Diamond Sutra. And he said, where do they teach this? And he said, oh, there's this place in the north of China where they teach it. So he said, oh, I have to go there and study with this master. So he somehow put together enough money and found someone who would allow his mother to be supported by this. And he traveled across China in order to go to this teacher to learn to clarify this abiding nowhere, mind arises. And of course, mind is yin, it's heart mind, it's being. So when now I'm reading from Buddha Nature by Dogen, who is quoting from what later became known as the Platform Sutra. The Platform Sutra is the sutra of the teaching of the sixth ancestor, who at that time, of course, was not the sixth ancestor, but his name is in Japanese, Dogen cites his name as Sokeizan Daikan Zenji, which means Soke is his name. It's also the name of the mountain where he eventually taught. We know him also as Wei Neng. And you'll please excuse my poor Chinese pronunciations. And this was so he says, comes to this teacher, and the teacher asked him, "Where have you come from?" And he said, "I am a person of Lingnan." "And why did you come here? Lingnan is far away." "I want to become a Buddha." The fifth ancestor said, "A person of Lingnan has no Buddha nature. How can you become a Buddha?" So, this is further clarified, but I want to just stop here, because here's where Dogen is pointing to what's very important in this dialogue, and very important for us. The person of Lingnan has no Buddha nature. Not one of us here has Buddha nature. We all have no Buddha nature. And what does that mean? So this, Dogen says, this person of Lingnan has no Buddha nature does not mean that a person of Lingnan does not have Buddha nature. It does not mean that a person of Lingnan has Buddha nature. It is the no Buddha nature of the person of Lingnan. The no Buddha nature of each of us. The no Buddha nature. How can you become a Buddha? Means what kind of becoming a Buddha are you expecting? What kind of becoming a Buddha are we expecting? What kind of becoming are we expecting in our life? See? What kind of becoming are we expecting in our life? If we practice in order to get something that we believe we don't have, we can never be here. We can never be this moment. Though we can be blinded, being caught in thoughts of this and that, self-centered ideas and interpretations of who and what our life is. But it's never something we're going to get. As long as we're looking for something, then we miss our very no Buddha nature. Hakuin Zenji in the Song of Zazen speaks of practice. If you practice, as he says it, as it's, what should I say, translated in if you do Zazen and testify to the truth of self nature is no nature, you have really gone beyond foolish talk. Testify to the truth that self nature is no nature. That's really being just this moment. Then we can see and live the form of no form, which manifests as all sorts of forms, whether going or returning. Hakuin says we cannot be any place else. This is the fundamental being just this moment that we resist in all sorts of ways. You don't have to become anything else in your city. Simply be this moment, the no difficult Buddha way, no difficult perfect way. except we hold on to preferences of what we want and what we don't want. Holding on to hate and love, as you know, we miss our life. Nevertheless, Dogen clarifies, he says, his comment on this text that I quoted, the principle of Buddha nature is as one is not endowed with Buddha nature before attaining Buddhahood. It is Buddha nature always studies together with attaining Buddhahood. Attaining is a bad English word in this sense because it makes us think we're going to get something. You might think so, and you could use those words, but this, as Dogen says, must be fully investigated for 20 or 30 years. It's not something that you clarify. To say living beings have Buddha nature is living beings have no Buddha nature, the principle. To study this as the Dharma, that one is endowed with Buddha nature, is not it, only after attaining Buddhahood. Then we can study and hit this mark of living beings have no Buddha nature. And therefore that's the clarification of living beings have Buddha nature. The fifth ancestor, Dogen says, said to the person who was to become the sixth, person of Lingnan has no Buddha nature. Right there, he handed him, he showed him exactly what it is. Even though when one first sees the Buddha and hears the Dharma, it is difficult to acquire, difficult to hear. It's difficult to hear. Living beings have no Buddha nature. Living beings have no Buddha nature. That's exactly self-nature is no nature. And nevertheless, Dogen says, this is wonderful. It's a joy to hear. Living beings have no Buddha nature. Therefore, we can bring forth this mind, heart, life that abides nowhere. This abiding nowhere is exactly this Buddha nature. So when the sixth ancestor, when this young man sought solely to become a Buddha, the fifth ancestor, in order to clarify for him, he had no other skillful device except to say, a person of Lingnan has no Buddha nature. Right here. You here have no Buddha nature. Then we can recognize speaking, hearing, no Buddha nature, which is the direct path to becoming, to being a Buddha, to being just this moment. not something else to acquire. No Buddha nature is becoming Buddha nature, says Dogen. Unless we clarify this, we continue to be blinded by self-nature arising in myriad forms. No problem with thoughts, feelings, and so forth arising, but we get trapped by cause and effect, as opposed to opening it up and seeing right here, this, if we can call it as Hakuin does, non-duality and non-trinity, then we see the form of no form as form. And that's, in a way, the point of our practice. And the sixth ancestor, in a sense, got it. Because his response to that was, people may have north and south, east and west. He doesn't say east and west, I'm adding that. But Buddha nature has no north or south, no male, female, no categories, much less things like Buddhist or non-Buddhist or anything like that. This no nature is exactly who and what we are. See? Exactly our functioning from the beginning. Except if we blind ourselves with holding to thoughts, feelings, ideas, which have long passed, and yet we become caught by what isn't here and is long gone. If we have things that much we're blinded, that much we can't be who we are from the very beginning, this no Buddha nature, well, Dogen, his way doesn't allow this just that way. He says, leaving aside have no, having or having no, he says, one should ask, what is it that is Buddha nature? He should acquire. What thing is that? Is it that is Buddha nature? What is it? It's being just this, and yet this isn't anything. Therefore, it can be no Buddha nature. We need to study, Dogen says, what is no? What is the no of various no's of no Buddha nature? Dogen says humans are obstructed by materiality, north, south, having, not having. I would say we are obstructed by self-centered thoughts, feelings that we believe. Self-centered feelings that we believe. Self-centered feelings that we solidify, or ways that we discriminate good, bad, and live, build on that. Then the forms that we see we bump into, whether they're physical or mental, the thoughts that arise, we bump into. Instead of seeing that thoughts are exactly this, no thought, then we can talk, listen, paint, sing, walk, sit. Then, as Hakuin says, how boundless the cleared sky of samadhi, how transparent the perfect moonlight. At this moment, what more need we seek? As the truth eternally reveals itself, right now reveals itself, this very place is the lotus land of purity. This very body is the body of the Buddha. When I began practicing for morning service, and when I began practicing in Zen very quickly, I began going to morning service every morning. I, at that time, was living in New York, so I would get up at 5 o'clock and take the subway. I lived up on 113th Street, if any of you know the west side of New York. But I was on the west side. In order to get to the Zendo, I had to take the subway down to 42nd Street, and then take another subway across town, and then take a third subway uptown so I can go up to 67th Street, where we would start. The Zendo would open at 5:30, and we sat 5:30 to 6, which was sort of open sitting. Then we had service, which we began, and then after service we had another sitting period. So in the service, the first chant that we chanted, was a Pali chant, which was, it's a short chant, it's Atha Dipa, and translated, it began, and in a sense, it sets the tone of practice. You are the light itself. We chanted it in Pali. I won't impose my Pali on you. You are the light itself. You are the refuge itself. We didn't chant it in English, we chanted it in Pali. Do not doubt. You are the light of the Dharma. You are the refuge of the Dharma. That's the fundamental point. Then everything else flows out of that. Skillful means, sometimes what's skillful for one person is not skillful for another. Abiding nowhere, bring forth this mind. This mind of no mind, this mind of no Buddha. For a period of time when, after Joko had one of her first awakenings or openings in Zen, I've been told, I wasn't there at the time, she would often go around and look at things and say, none of this is real. This isn't real. This isn't real. Of course. And yet, caught in self-centered dream, then we fail to be this no Buddha nature. that we are, that our life is. We can testify that the self nature is no nature. Instead, we believe all sorts of delusions, stories, simple ones, not particularly pernicious ones, but they can be pernicious if we get stuck in them. So, one important aspect of our practice effort is always to notice, or I should say it differently, as often as we can, to notice and clarify what we're holding and believing, especially when we bump into things in life. Because the only thing we could bump into is the things we solidify. The things we solidify, whether so-called inside or so-called outside, since from the beginning. No Buddha nature is exactly our nature. Self nature is no nature. Then we can sing and dance as the voice of the Dharma. We can be just this moment, which is exactly all we are. Thank you.